make it alive to us today. And all that we have heard, read, all that I say, all that we hear, all that we understand, may it be acceptable in your sight. This we ask in Christ. Amen. The butterfly effect. You know, that's a stupid name. Oh, it's dumb, right? That's a stupid name for that little critter. Shouldn't it be called the Flutterby? Right? Flutterby. Yeah. Flutterby. No idea where that came from. Andrea loves butterflies. And you know what I mean when I say butterfly effect? Okay? It means you go, oh, that's a pretty butterfly. That's the butterfly effect, right? No. The butterfly effect is a theory. Used in Latin, chaos theory, actually. And it's defined as this. It is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a deterministic nonlinear system can result in large differences. Now, I just read that. That's a quote. And you think, I talk confused? Yeah, basically what it means is small circumstances, small happenings right here and now can affect things bigger and greater as they go out. The term is associated with a mathematician named Edward Norton Lawrence. And in 1972, he was running a weather prognostication forecast that he used a number that was 0.306120. Maybe it was something like that, anyway. So he starts his computer analyzing it. He said, I'm going to round it off to 0.306. He went and got a cup of coffee and he came back. His 2 months forecast had changed dramatically by rounding up or rounding down that number in that decimal place. Very insignificant. And he started thinking about that. He came up with the idea that a butterfly flapping its wings in China might cause a tornado to happen in Kansas once later by affecting the wings. What isn't normally said, though, is that the butterfly flapping its wings in China might stop that tornado from forming because of perturbations in the, what do you call it, deterministic nonlinear system. And weather is everything in that, chaotic as can be. So this idea, at least first expressed out loud in writing, goes back to at least 1800. In a philosophical treatise called The Vocation of Man, a guy named Johann Fichte wrote, you could not remove a single grain of sand from its place on the beach without thereby changing something throughout all the parts of the immeasurable whole. Small changes can lead to big things. The concept was later thunk about by another mathematician. You may have actually heard of this guy, Henri Poincaré, or Henri Poincaré, as it's spelled. Henri Poincaré. And he came up with this idea of a three-body problem, which is dealing with space and how you can predict the orbits of three chunks of something, planets, moons, whatever, orbiting around each other. It still hasn't been solved. Alan Turing, in the 50s, came up with this one. The displacement of a single electron by a billionth of a centimeter at one moment might make the difference between a man being killed by an avalanche a year later or escaping. I think Turing was the first guy to put the preventative kind of thing in there. But the idea of one butterfly doing something affecting the world later on is just, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it? Last example. Anybody who used to watch Twilight Zone? Well, at least you know what Twilight was. Yeah. There was an episode based on a short story by Ray Bradbury called A Sound of Thunder, wherein a group of time travelers went back in time and they had a safe walkway. You could go in here without disturbing anything, but somehow or other, one of the guys squashed a butterfly. When they returned to the future, it belongs. Who knows why? Maybe that butterfly had been food for a bat, and the bat lived long enough to infect another critter with rabies. It lived long enough to spread it around. How's that? That one came off the top of my head, but you know, there's this huge effects. Well, you might be wondering if all this is true or not, the whole butterfly effect thing, and the answer is, yeah, it is. It's not just a harebrained egghead's dream, it actually is true. But you can't prove it. It's kind of like saying, well, prove to me God exists. See? Butterfly effect. Give myself an ovation, drop the book. It's not provable, but it's demonstrable. Like the weather systems, where the mathematician and meteorologist just change a little tiny number and things happen. We can't know which butterfly started which hurricane or which tornado. But you might start wondering then, not that I'm not sure you know that, where this philosophy and meteorology and mathematics tie in with our scripture today. You haven't thought about that? Think about that. Butterfly, that caffeine, wait, talk. Look at real life. Not some fanciful theory, chaos or not. We have examples from scripture of the butterfly effect. Well, we're looking at two of them today. One is named Samuel, and one is named Isaiah. Samuel, we know a lot about him. His mother was named Hannah, and his father was named Elkaniah. He had another wife, too, called Peninnah, or Peninnah, sorry. Can't read well in the paper. Now, Hannah had no children, and we've already talked about how shameful it is for a woman not to have children when you're a Hebrew in 3,000-year-old culture. So she went to the temple, and she prayed in Shiloh to have a baby. And she said, if you give me a baby, I will dedicate that kid to the temple, to you, as a Nazirite. I will donate him to your work forever. Now Eli, who was the priest at the time, heard her and said, just like they did in Acts with the guy, when the apostles talking, what did they say? They were all drunk, right? They thought she was drunk on the floor. But goes over to talk to her and find out what's up. Well, lo and behold, she conceived and had a son, and they named him Samuel. Also, Eli was the last, or the second to the last of the judges. He followed Samson. We look in the book of Judges. At the age of 2, after he was able to eat no food, after he was weaned, Hannah took Samuel to the temple and said, here you go, Eli, you got my kid. And he kept him, and he raised him in the temple. Until he got to a certain age, probably teenager, maybe a little bit younger. During the night, he heard, Samuel, Samuel. Maybe he didn't hear it, maybe he heard it, but Samuel. He got up, and he thought it was Eli, because of being read in the scripture. He was getting kind of old, and he couldn't see real well, so Samuel was his body servant. So he goes to see him 3 times. And Eli kept sending him back. Finally, Eli figured it out and said, okay, this is God talking to you. It happens again. Just say, listen, I hear you speaking. Here I am. Here I am. Your servant hears. Your servant hears. That's what happened. God spoke to him directly. You know, usually that God spoke to a person directly. God hadn't really done that since Moses. Speaking, conversation-wise, the word of the Lord had jumped to people, but it wasn't quite this way in conversation. And Samuel hears God speak, and he listens, and he got this message for Eli, and he said, I don't like this message. I gotta go tell my boss that his sons are both gonna get killed and his family's at an end here? You never want to be the bearer of bad news, because he was big time. And so he gave it to Eli. And Eli said, well, it's their own fault. They didn't listen to me. They were corrupt. And let God do what God's going to do. And they did. And Samuel grew up. He grew up in the temple, in the Rosh Shiloh. And since his father, Elkaniah, had been a priest, a Levite, that means Samuel was too. He was part of a little bit of the tribe. He gave him the permission to do all this stuff. He grew up and became a prophet, and when Eli died, Samuel became the last of the judges. Again, you read the book of Judges, he's the last one, and most of his stories are told in Kings and Prophets. But once that happened, the Israelites were conquered by the Philistines again. And they actually captured and took away the Ark of the Covenant. Samuel held the tribes together. The Philistines didn't like having the Ark, and it caused them all kinds of problems. They sent it back about 9 months later, but about 20 years later, Samuel led a rebellion against the Philistines. And guess what Israel did? What? Because Samuel, God, sent him. They chased out the Philistines, but eventually the people were clamoring and screaming, "You want a king?" And so Samuel, by God's direction, anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. Later on, he did the same thing for David, anointed David king over Israel. Samuel was the one who kept the religious traditions of Israel together. He was the one who kept the tribe together. He was the epicenter of Israel history at that point in time. Representing those three little words, because of those three little words, maybe in spite of those three little words, your servant hears. What that means in the ancient world isn't just, okay, I'm listening, huh? It means I will obey. I will do. When the servant hears something, it's always a command. Even if it's, you know, hey, Gene, you look nice today. You hear that, but that's a command. Say, you better keep looking at that. You know. And so he relayed the message. He obeyed. It's implied and expected. So for those three little words to Samuel, come relevant. Now look at Isaiah. We don't know quite as much about Isaiah, but according to the ancient rabbis, he was a descendant of Judah and Tamar. That's a big story back in Genesis. I'm not going to go into that, which is important. His father was named Amos, and he was the brother of a king named Amaziah. So he was kind of sort of a bit of a royal family type person from the beginning. It further accounts that Isaiah was actually not just related to the king, but he was the maternal grandfather of King Manasseh, who, by the way, executed him, because he said, I have seen the face of God. And Moses said, no one can see the face of God and live, so they killed Isaiah, because he said he saw the face of God. That's like that. But he was the father of the queen consort of Hephzibah, and his daughter, and King Hezekiah was his son-in-law. He had connections, did Isaiah. He prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah. You don't remember any of those names, I don't care. But just kind of, if you are interested, you can place in history that way. During this whole mess of his prophesying, towards the end, a guy named Shalmaneser the V, who was the king, emperor of the Assyrian Empire, decided we're going to go beat up Judah. And Samuel was instrumental in rallying the troops, getting the king on his side, and defeating the Assyrians at this time. Isaiah's three little words were similar to Samuel's. Isaiah said, here I am. And God asked the question, who shall we send? And they said, here I am. But then he said, send me too. That was unnecessary because, as I just explained, when you hear a master speak, it is expected you're going to follow through. So God sent him to Judah to prophesy, which he did. And just like Samuel, his actions become power. Now we can say that even though this is all, quote, Jewish stuff, this is all dealing with the Israelite kingdoms and things like that, but that is part of our history as well. We can graft it in as Christians to that whole history. Samuel and Isaiah, three little words. The things they did or didn't do in this world. And then take the butterfly effect into it. Looking back through history and what they said, what they did, you can see what happened from their little speeches, their prayers, their little sacrifices. Not the meaning, but the big scale things, the little scale things. Our history. Three little words. Butterfly. Do you have three little words anywhere in your life that had a butterfly effect? Yeah, you do. Every one of you. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do. Maybe it's one of those kind of things that didn't happen rather than it did happen. But I would bet that there are a multitude of times that three words happen to you. Maybe literally three words, but that concept. Maybe it happens every day, because the three words not only come from God, but sometimes they come from the other side too. To dissuade you, to mislead you. You gotta be careful. It is written you have to test spirits. They can all lead from small to large consequences. Of course, the words that come from God that you recognize and say, I hear, or I hear you, they have the biggest effect. And you know what I'm doing. I have three words too. I have big three words. Some of you know the story. I'm coming home from work one day, because I'm ready to get off the interstate, and I heard a voice. Only time in my life I've ever heard a voice. And I heard it. I don't know if I heard it, or if I heard it, but I heard it. It said, go to seminary. No doubt it was God. We were. Go to seminary. I did. We did. And guess what those three little words did? It just didn't involve me. It immediately impacted Andrea and myself. And then other people in the family. But I heard. We went, we obeyed, and because of that, guess what? Here I am. I got sent. Here she be. She got sent. Here all y'all are because God. Now, 30-some years ago, I could not have imagined this. Me being a good Presbyterian Reformed guy being up in front of a Lutheran church. You know, nothing wrong with it, just it was something I wouldn't have ever imagined. I couldn't ever have guessed about the places I've been. I would never guess that I went to Israel, that I went to China, that I went to all different places. I lived in Minnesota for 9 years. I mean, that's the most unbelievable of all. But I think about the things I've learned, and I continue to learn. I think about the things I've taught. And it's been taught to me. I think of the tens of thousands of people I've spoken to. Maybe more than maybe. I may have spoken to hundreds of thousands of people in the last 30 years. I've written some things that have been read. I don't know how many. But I've spoken to, let's say, 100,000 people. In all the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's happened in the last 30 years because I heard go to seminary and had a faithful response. I couldn't even imagine. Butterfly. And like the butterflies, we're not done. Andrew and I have both had an effect because of those three words on every one of you. The good or ill. Because I heard three words. 30 years ago. That butterfly is still flapping. And even though, as my folk before said, you cannot tell that this butterfly caused Hurricane Charlie, the butterfly's name is God. What are your three words? Listen for them. Hear them when they come. If they're from God, obey them and start or continue. I think that's true. And I have one more quote to end with. As a warning, should we make even a tiny alteration? It says to nature, but it's basically period. If we should make even a tiny alteration, we shall never know what would have happened if we hadn't disturbed it. Since subsequent changes are too complex and entangled to restore a previous state. You know, when you do something, you don't know what effect it's going to have eventually, so then it's going to stop. And what does this mean? It's the warning. You listen to the three words, you obey them. And when you obey them despite what the consequences might be. If those words are for God, from God, with God, you do it, regardless. But one thing you cannot do is you can't play the what if. What have I did? What have I done? Listen to the three words. Follow them. Obey them. And they can go. Amen.